Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Space Cadet Bar and Scratch Kitchen in the Heights.
We are at Space Cadet in the Heights. Your spot to watch the Astros tonight. Get here by the third inning. They win. They're going to buy you a beer. Good spot to watch your college basketball national championship game tonight as well with Purdue and UConn. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Joe Espada talking to the media says that it's a good sign they didn't place him on the IL. It could be a nothing burger, though. Like, if he comes back, he's not on the IL, gets an MRI tomorrow, they find a torn UCL, well, now he's on the 60-day IL. So, yeah, I guess that it's a good sign you didn't place him on the IL. Maybe it talks to the significance of the injury. The good sign that I actually see that I think is a bigger good sign than the fact that he didn't get placed on the IL, I think the fact that he didn't place on the IL is almost a nothing burger. The good sign to me is that he didn't report it after he pitched, mm-hmm. and he made the trip. Like, if his elbow was crushing him, and his elbow was just throbbing and was hurting, and, you know, was really bothered, last time he pitched was April 2nd at home against Toronto. If his elbow was just, you know, awful after that game, and he felt it after that game, he would have never made the trip to Arlington and would have been playing catch yesterday, because that's when he reported the tightness was yesterday when he was playing catch. So I think that that's a sign. Like, I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but it's a bigger good news sign than the fact that he can place on the IL. Not being placed on the IL is almost a nothing burger for me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that because of it just happened, they're on top of it. If he was just, you know, between starts doing his normal throwing and suddenly it became an issue, you also know that he wasn't throwing, you know, as hard as he throws in games. So he was loosening it up. He felt something. They're going to attack it as soon as they possibly can. It's not something that's lingering or been there for a while, hopefully. And hopefully that it is a nothing burger and it turns out to just be some extra inflammation early in the season or something that you can move past. But I think to your earlier point, regardless of if it's more on the side of just needing some R&R and a little and some treatment and things, he's still going to miss significant start time. I think he's probably going to miss the next couple weeks of starts, and that means in order to get ramped back up, he's probably going to be out over a month, month and a half, and that does something to a team that's already taxed by, you know, a less than setup of starting pitchers.
Yeah. Again, I think the minimum here is 6 weeks. Brian McTaggart says that he, again, experienced this yesterday, left elbow soreness. Valdez went to Houston this morning to be examined. He felt the soreness after playing catch yesterday. Espada said the fact they didn't put him on the IL is a sign they didn't think it's serious. The interesting thing is, usually, I mean, playing catch the day before your start's not, you know, crazy, but you're throwing very, very light. Like, when you're playing catch right. The day before your start, you're just, I mean, you're playing soft toss. You're barely throwing the baseball. So if you're barely throwing the baseball and then you feel tightness after that, now that's probably bad news. The other thing is, like, he had a throw day in between these starts. Usually, what, 2-3 days before? I can't remember which day it is. But usually you have a throw day in between your starts. Where that one, you're kind of amping it up a little bit to probably about 60%. So he probably went through that. He probably went through that and didn't feel soreness. So he didn't feel it after the game against Toronto. At least he didn't tell anybody. Maybe he was hiding it. He threw his, you know, in between, you know, ramp up, his throw day, his bullpen day.
Session.
He threw it. He had his bullpen day where he's throwing about 60%, and then yesterday he was kind of playing soft toss, and then he reported it. So maybe he was trying to hide it. Like, we have no idea. But the fact that he made the trip could be, you know, if we're trying to remain optimistic, that would be the thing that I look at that has the most optimism, not the fact that they didn't place him on the IL.
Yeah, I think, but he's going to make the trip if he, to your point on, and I think this leads you to believe, he didn't feel anything until yesterday.
Unless he was covering it up, which is plausible.
Well, especially because he's coming up on contract. He doesn't want anybody to start thinking, you know, because how quickly word spreads. Does he have arm issues? He's got discomfort. We know how much they like to throw that word around. But, yeah, he was on the trip. Yeah, he made his bullpen session, but he felt it yesterday. I would be a little bit more concerned about the fact that he's probably just throwing nothing but straight fastballs type, and I wouldn't even say fastball.
Yeah, he's not.
He's just throwing straight balls, and he feels something. You know, hopefully you can say, well, on the positive side, maybe that's just he pulled something or he tweaked something and it just popped up and you caught it in time and nothing's going to show up on any of the MRIs or any of the x-rays or whatever they do. And you know, a week or so later, he's back. That's the absolute positive side. But I don't think it's a positive that he wasn't snapping anything off. He wasn't ramping up the fastball and he felt something in his arm, that's not great.
0315, positive thing is the injuries are happening early in the season. That can be positive if Frommer's isn't season-ending.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless he didn't come back.
Yeah, if it's season-ending, then it doesn't matter when it is. I guess it's better to happen early in the season because you get him back quicker into next year. But season-ending is season-ending. Now, that is the case with the other pitchers. Like, it's good that Verlander is experiencing now, you know, this 2-4-week injury, whatever it is, instead of in October. It's good that Urquidy's dealing with this now, and then you get him back. Hopefully he stays healthy. And then, you know, Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia in the summer. Injury, it's a positive way to look at it for sure. But if it's a season ender, then you're losing Fromber for the entire year anyways. 9-6-4-8, Fromber's only out because he will face the Rangers on Sunday, and they don't want him facing them 2 games in a row. He's not hurt. I can't tell if this is a Rangers fan or someone being facetious. I can't really tell. I mean, Fromber would make today's start if he was healthy. They're not ducking. Even if you thought he was going to get shelled against Texas, he's still making the start.
Yeah, I don't. This is a very established pitcher. This is a guy that you're not going to do that with. A lot of times, there's, you know, that used to be the rumor in the NBA. Well, you're going to hold the guy out because you might see that team. You see the teams enough. You see the Rangers all the time. There's no way that you're. What are you going to? You're going to hide Fromber all season from the Rangers or limit the amount of times he sees the Rangers? That's just not. That they can't be serious.
Plus, just for the state of the pitching staff, like you want somebody to give you coverage and save the pen a little bit. You're playing a bunch of games in a row, so that doesn't make any
logical
sense.
Coming off a great start. Right, yeah. He's coming off a great start with really good stuff. You would think that he wants to, you know, put back-to-back good starts together, put everybody that had something to say about, you know, his control, put that to bed, and go out and compete against a really good baseball team.
0967, why not go after Trevor Bauer? Because he's a clubhouse cancer, and the Astros are scared that if they brought him in, he would ruin their culture.
Yeah, plain and simple. There's too much of a history, and there's just too much baggage with a dude like that. And too much risk to try and find some reward out of bringing in him to this locker room and that culture. There's no way.
9780 bothers me that the Astros did not really ever consider Montgomery.
I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say that today because, you know, you're experiencing the Fromber news, so it's kind of hindsight 2020 revisionist history. Now, I remember when it happened, I was like, yeah, we should have given Jordan Montgomery that contract. I would say, though, that if we're going to do the revisionist history game, the one that I would play more is – invest in your middle relief. Like, you have to account for attrition when it comes to a pitching staff. Going into the season, counting on, you know, 3 or 4 4A type pitchers, and then all of a sudden you have a couple of injuries, which is natural to any pitching staff in baseball for the history of the game, especially now more than ever. Now you're magnifying their role, right? Now a Seth Martinez has to take on a bigger role, even though he's not a starter, but you don't have a Fromber. Now you're starting, you know, for this game, some journeyman minor leaguer. You're going to, you know, hope to maybe it's Spencer Arrighetti in the future. But Arrighetti's not going to give you the inning coverage that a Fromber Valdez can give you. Fromber Valdez pitches 200 innings a year. Spencer Arrighetti is a rookie, is going to go 125, 130. So now you're putting more emphasis on a middle relief that isn't very good. And that's my biggest critique of Dana Brown this offseason, and maybe he was restricted because of money, is that you didn't invest in that middle relief, even with just like average major league bullpen arms. I'm not saying to sign all of the best relievers in baseball. Just go out and get big leaguers, not 4A arms, because it's inevitable that pitchers are going to get hurt. And whenever those pitchers get hurt, who you have in the bullpen, their role gets magnified even more. So going into the season with 3 or 4 minor league arms makes it, you know, news like today where Fromber's going to be at a minimum of 6 weeks, a maximum of the season, because now these guys have elevated roles, and guess what you have to do to fill a spot? Bring up another minor league type.
Yeah, the thing is, and we were talking about this in the offseason, but just get in some veteran arms with some experience. The fact is, I get it if you don't want to get into the Snell market because you're looking at, you know, a significant amount of money that when you're already over the threshold, but then on top of that, you're also going to have to give up a pick. But then you had Montgomery if you wanted to go to the next best thing, and you didn't have to give up any compensation. You could have gotten him. But, again, it was a significant amount of money, and you weren't into that because you already went over and you went and did the thing, you know, the hater move. But on top of that, then you could say, okay, for less money, could you have added a pitcher or two? For what Neris went for what late in the year, I mean, at the very end of it, and using it just for example, you see the guys that you let walk away go for very minimal deals where you could have added an extra $10 million of salary and maybe added 2 veteran pitchers to go, whether it's a Maton type or other guys that were Stanek type, where you could add those two guys for less than $10 million. Those are veteran big league arms. And in the case of one guy, you had a 95-plus fastball. Another guy, you had a hell of a first half of the year for you last year. They're experienced. They know what you guys do, how you do it in your bullpen. They could have helped you. This team is too good to sit there and start trying to figure out now what minor leaguers might be able to step in with the situation that they're in.
Yeah, now it's too late, too.
Yep.
Like, and that's the thing. Like, you got to plan for injuries. Like, injuries happen. Like, you're fooling yourself if you think that you're going to get through a whole season. And we talked about this in the offseason. You got to have plans for if, you know, this, like, not even a specific player. You have to have plans if a player goes down. Like, Mauricio Dubon is a perfect example of having him on the roster. Okay, well, if one of your middle infielders goes down, well, you got a good big league player in Mauricio Dubon that's ready to take that spot. That's why we wanted an outfield bat, even if it was a fourth outfielder. Because if one of those guys goes down, here's a guy ready to take that spot. I don't feel like they did that with their bullpen.
This goes back to, like, in Crossin Sports, but when Caserio, when I went off on how upset I was that if you knew Kenyon Green wasn't an if, it was a when he was going to get hurt, and you had to scramble right before the first game of the regular season trying to find a replacement, and you didn't have an insurance policy or two already on the roster, then that's on you. And as an organization, starting with Dana Brown, you have to be prepared for the fact that as much as you have 7-8 starters that at some point in the year you are hopeful are all going to be available, and so that you can do some things. And as we talked about, maybe some of those guys end up being the solution to your bullpen. At what point, no matter what the possibilities of getting all those guys back, is the realistic approach of also thinking one of those two guys we haven't mentioned yet could go down. And now we've got to be prepared for that, too, because this isn't a team that's just in a mid-market trying to be a 500 or above ball club, or a team that's scrapping for a playoff spot. This is a team competing for the World Series that has to be better prepared and have better options when you want to stay in the race.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Fromber down for, well, we're guessing a minimum of 6 weeks, a maximum of the season. It's going through your mind as an Astro fan. 713-780-3776. Also, in honor of the eclipse, athletes who got so big that they eclipsed their sport, they became bigger than the sport they play. Who did that? Who eclipsed their sport? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a minute from my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. Look, there's a lot of different reasons why you should look up, get in contact, and check out Doc Linville and his staff. They are the best at so much. They handle everything from plastic surgeries, spa treatments, Botox. They can do so much to help you on a daily basis. The thing that I'm most experienced with, because I did it myself personally, is the NeoGraft procedure. If you're losing your hair, you have pattern baldness, thinning bald spots, you don't think there's anything you can do about it, whether you got your forehead turning it into an 8 head or you got a baboon's butt on the top of your melon and you don't think there's any way to cover it up, there actually is, and it can be with your own hair. Right now, all I need you to do is go to 975hair.com. There's nothing, no strings attached, no locking you in to go to the website, and you can check out what the NeoGraft is. It's taking hair where you're never going to lose it. Genetically, Doc explained it to me. You're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. He takes some of it and puts it where you need it most. Maybe it's in front at the hairline. Maybe it's up on top and back or someplace else. But the fact is, it's not going to give you any bald spots on the sides and the back. It's only every third or fourth follicle. But when you take those follicles that he moves and puts them where you need them most and you see them start to grow, you realize they're going to be there for the long haul because he's taking them from a spot where they never go away. When they settle in and get stronger and longer, you're going to see true results that are going to make you smile because it's going to improve your appearance, your self-confidence, and you're going to love the way you look again. Check them out today. No commitment, no signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket. Just you asking questions, getting answers from Doc and his staff. Go to 975hair.com.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Space Cadet Bar and Scratch Kitchen in the Heights.
Great spot to watch the Stros. Great spot to watch your college basketball tonight. He's blank on Branham. In fact, they'll buy you a beer if the Astros win. You got to be here by the third inning. If the Astros win, they'll buy you a beer at Space Cadet. Drinks are great. They have multiple, about two dozen beers on draft, a bunch of bottle beers. Their food's fantastic. Brian had the wings. I had the wings. I had the buffalo. I'm a buffalo wing purist. They smoke it. Then they fry it, which I think is the best combination because it allows that smoke flavor. But then you got to have a crunch on a wing, which
stuff. It had excellent crunch for sure.
Excellent crunch. Love crunch on a wing. Crunch on a wing's fantastic. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. A lot of people are wanting Bauer. Like, Bauer's not going to happen.
Look, there's desperate, and then there's that. I just think Trevor Bauer takes desperation to a whole new level that this organization isn't considering and isn't about to even contemplate it at this point in the season. It's too early in the season, and that dude has done so much that I don't think there's a reason why he's still sitting out there. He hasn't pitched great regardless, but there's a reason why even on April Fool's Day when some minor league play-by-play guy decided to put out there the Mets are signing Trevor Bauer and everybody went nuts, because there's not a team in baseball right now that I think is willing to touch Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, I mean, the proof's in the pudding, right? He's not with the Major League Baseball team. I wouldn't touch him. I'm out on Bauer. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who has eclipsed their sport? In honor of the eclipse, which the clouds got in the way of all that today. Although it did get noticeably darker, even in Houston.
It did.
It got noticeably darker. Did even it, with the clouds.
Maybe here, there was actually a nice little spot that opened up in the clouds very briefly.
It did.
Where I could see it, but it didn't really – it looked just like overcast. It never really seemed significantly – I know, obviously, in different parts of the country, it was much more noticeable and much more obvious, but here it just – felt cloudy, except for, hey, look up, there's a hole in the clouds and you can see the little sliver of the moon or the sun peeking past the moon.
Yeah, right at about the time that all the national news was breaking in or showing it, there was a break in all of the cloud cover to where you could see the sun.
Yeah.
And then if you had the glasses standing by and you could, you know, get a good shot of it, you definitely could have experienced it. But some of the video I saw from around the country, and even NBC was showing live.
Dallas area.
Cars putting their
shots.
Headlights on, and it got pretty dark.
Yeah, even in my house, it got a little bit darker, even though it was the overcast. Around 1:40, I think, was peak time.
Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be partial. The peak time. That's when I walked outside here,
Partial eclipse here. So which athletes have eclipsed their sport in the history of sports?
Well, the first one to me is Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan to this day is eclipsing it when you look at worldwide status, who knows him, the brand Jordan logo, everything that they're doing. Michael Jordan is a worldwide icon that also played basketball in the NBA, but I think that's the first one you start with. I think there's several guys kind of in that same realm, but MJ's the first one you think about.
I think the greatest name here for eclipsing their sport, because Jordan is that. I'm not arguing that Jordan is that, but I think there's been greater than Jordan relative to their sport. Because basketball is already massive, right? You already had Hall of Famers that were huge in the sport.
Coming off of Magic and Bird.
Yeah. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods eclipsed his sport 100 times over. Jordan eclipsed his sport 10 times over. I don't know. Like, how do you do the math on that? But Tiger Woods took a sport that was very niche. That was, you know, I like golf. I'm a fan of golf, but never as big as the big three. It was very country clubby, right? Elitist white men.
Yep.
Let's be honest. And Tiger Woods eclipsed that 100 times over. The brand was bigger than golf. Go look at the biggest TV ratings ever. Tiger's on all of them. You look at TV ratings now when Tiger's not playing, they're not very good. When Tiger's playing and he's not even making the cut, the ratings go through the roof, which I'm sure the Masters is very happy that Tiger Woods will be playing this week. It is Masters week, after all. Tiger Woods, to me, eclipsed their sport more than anybody else, in my opinion.
Yeah, my list was MJ, Tiger, from a worldwide perspective, Yao. Because Yao was bigger than just basketball. He was an international icon. He ended up in Super Bowl commercials and you know, all over the world, doing the things that he was doing. Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, because they played two different sports.
Eclipsing their sport?
They didn't really eclipse it.
I wouldn't say they eclipsed their sport.
But I think that when Bo came out, he was just going to be a baseball player. I mean, I'm sorry, a football player.
No, that's right. No, Bo was a baseball
player.
Yeah.
And then decided as a hobby he was going to play football. Deion came out, he was going to be just a football player. He suddenly played baseball. Then suddenly with Nike and everybody that got behind him, they blew the brands up for both those guys to where they became more icons. They were in movies. They were doing things, TV shows, things like that. But my list, and then LeBron. I mean, LeBron, again, it's basketball. Yeah. But LeBron, his overall worldwide brand, and Space Jam and all the different things that he got involved in, and then kind of like the branches of LeBron with Rich Paul and the agency and all the different things he's doing. He's doing the barbershop on TV.
I can't go LeBron. Like, because, I mean, if you're going to say that Jordan eclipsed the sport, like, didn't he set the bar? Like, didn't he, like, kind of move the bar to a certain level. Like, if you have one athlete in the sport and they eclipsed it, they brought the bar up of that sport. So now the bar is much harder to clear. I would say LeBron lived up to the hype, no doubt.
But he did what Michael did, and then he took it a step further with the production company, with the barbershop,
yeah,
and all the TV,
I mean,
shows.
Is that the sport? Like, it's nitpicky. Like, I see where you're coming from, and I don't disagree. I guess I'm more trying to qualify what exactly eclipsing the sport is.
I'm kind of looking at the businesses, the revenues, the overall still popularity. Obviously, he's still playing basketball at a very high level, but he's also doing movies, TV shows, production companies. He's involved in so many different things. He has a shoe, just like Jordan, a brand under the Nike thing that's making millions and millions. He has, you know, all these different ventures that are doing things for him. I also see your point to the fact that he is following in Jordan's footsteps in a lot of way, but then doing things Michael didn't want to do. Michael doesn't really like the public eye. He doesn't want to have his own TV shows, and he wants to stay kind of more in anonymity as much as possible, whereas LeBron wants to be out there.
I would say Simone Biles. I think she eclipsed the sport, especially locally, since she's a Houston girl, but I think she brought women gymnastics up to a different level too, probably because she was one of the greatest ever. Someone texted in, and it was one that I was going to bring to the table. Ali, like, boxing was already huge before Ali, though. So, like, did Ali eclipse it?
But he was in politics. I mean, he got deep into worldwide issues.
I would say Ali qualifies. The two boxers that come to mind for me that I would say eclipse their sport were Ali and then Mike Tyson.
Julio Cesar Chavez in Mexico.
Mexico.
But Tyson didn't do it from a performance of what he did in boxing.
Sure he did.
Didn't win the world championships and do all the things.
He won a world champion.
A couple, but I'm talking about to be legendary, like one of the greatest boxers of all time.
No, he's not a legendary boxer, no.
Not really the conversation, though. To me, this conversation that kind of goes back to like the qualifications for this is more about when you ask someone who's not a diehard fan of a sport, they only know about that sport, that person. They don't know anything else about it. And kind of some of the names I bring up, like I could tell my mom swimming. She goes, "Oh, Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps eclipsed the sport of swimming." She doesn't know anything else about swimming, but she's heard of Michael Phelps. Obviously, this guy fell off a cliff because of doping, but Lance Armstrong was that guy for a long time. So I think those are kind of the names.
Is Wayne Gretzky in that conversation?
Yeah. Gretzky's been thrown out.
I would say Gretzky. Yeah.
Gretzky's been thrown out quite a bit. Phelps was.
Caitlin Clark now.
Possibly. Mm. She has to – for the college game, yes.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm
But now she's got to be able
game.
To translate that to the WNBA.
They just drew 18 million people. I saw a stat.
Oh, there's no doubt what she did this year for college basketball. Took it
right,
to
but I think
level.
I think you're looking at their production a little bit too much here. I think you're putting the value there. This is more about like clout. And this is more about their name value kind of being bigger than the sport.
Like the Q rating.
Versus their product. Like, Caitlin Clark is bigger than women's
basketball. So, are you saying if she does it for a year, then she's done what to
no,
be
no,
on the
no,
list?
Just like, is the player bigger than the sport? Caitlin Clark's bigger than women's basketball. Michael Phelps was bigger than swimming.
But my question being,
like, I don't think LeBron was bigger than basketball, quite frankly. I think that Tiger was obviously bigger than golf.
Ooh, I think LeBron got to a point where he was bigger than basketball.
I don't know. Like, if you're going to say that Jordan was bigger than basketball, then now you're saying that LeBron was bigger than basketball and Jordan.
In his mind, he was, because of the stats and everything. I don't think any realistic basketball fan – I wouldn't say that. I think there's an argument to be made, a discussion to be had amongst people.
Ooh.
But I think that, like, you look at Caitlin Clark. I think Caitlin Clark had the great – in my mind, short of winning a championship. Some people think she's not the greatest because she didn't win a championship. She had the greatest in single season – in college basketball history, and all the stats that she put up and all the records that she broke.
Yeah.
If she goes to the WNBA, Brian,
you're looking at
in
numbers
a year
too
or two,
much, though. Like,
but I'm saying, but in terms of to eclipse it with just how big she would be and become, in a year or two, if she's not playing at the same kind of level on the next level, people, not that they're going to forget about it, but all that kind of luster wears off.
But wouldn't that be Tiger now? Like Tiger, but we're
but
talking
he did
about
it over like 2 decades.
Yeah, but it's a player at their peak, big and bigger than their sport. Would anybody watch the women's college basketball tournament if it weren't for
Caitlin
Clark?
That's why I asked the question.
Like Angel Reese, no.
If she does it for a year, does it still count?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't know the longevity. If she falls off the cliff or doesn't play well in the WNBA, I don't know that she has that clout for more than a year.
Yeah, but she still would have eclipsed the sport in that period of time. It doesn't mean she has to have done it, you know, for 30 years. I mean,
how long was the eclipse today? It was like 4.5 minutes.
Right.
So, like, it's not this sustained period of time. It's for the brief moment of time where the player, the athlete, the person surpasses the actual sport itself. Like, they're more popular than the sport is popular. Tiger golf, Caitlin Clark women's basketball, Michael Phelps swimming.
Michael
I think Simone Biles
Lance
gymnastics.
Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong, absolutely.
Well, here's a test.
You're tuning in to watch the player, not the actual sport.
I'll name a sport. You tell me who's the most known athlete. Snowboarding.
No clue.
It's that the carrot top guy.
Exactly. Sean White. That's kind of the point. You know nothing about snowboarding. You've heard of Sean White.
Yeah.
That's to me.
Does that mean Lindsey Vonn?
Nah, well.
Maybe. It depends on. Do you know another skier? I really don't.
Yeah, I don't.
I do. Michaela Schifrin just broke Lindsey Vonn's records.
Lindsey Vonn, though, because she dated Tiger, so it was a little bit different. But
dated PK Subban too.
They put out the $18.7 million, I believe, is what South Carolina in Iowa got yesterday for the final. They put out a stat, just all the that number is bigger than any NBA game since the 2017 NBA.
Oh no,
NBA
the numbers
final.
The numbers
I mean,
for
it's
the
insane.
For the UConn Iowa game and the LSU Iowa game were massive.
Yeah, but that wasn't even like I think that was at 13 million. This was 18.7.
The LSU game was at 12.5, I think.
Yeah, so it that rating that Caitlin Clark got was better than any NBA game since 2017. Any Major League Baseball game since 2019, every men's college game since 2019. I mean, that to me is eclipsing the sport. Like, Caitlin Clark in that game yesterday is not the sole reason, but 99% of the reason why people watched, and it drew a massive number.
9789, eclipsing your sport would be if people don't know you played that sport. They just know you're famous and you have instant recognition. I think it's a good way of putting it. 713-780-ESPN.
So then wouldn't LeBron be on the list?
Did he? No, I don't think so.
Because they know him.
Right, but you wouldn't know the sport. Like, are you going to tune into the NBA Finals, or are you going to tune into only to watch LeBron?
Remember what he was before he was LeBron in the NBA. When he was in high school, when he was
chosen one, sure.
Everybody, Sports Illustrated covers, he was the first to have his high school games on TV.
Would you watch basketball if LeBron was not in the NBA?
I mean, you know I would.
Right,
yes.
But I'm talking about like the average person. I think the average person would. I don't think LeBron James is moving the needle. I don't think LeBron James is moving the needle enough for someone who is a basketball fan to be like, okay, I'm not going to watch unless LeBron's playing. Whereas Caitlin Clark absolutely does that. Tiger Woods absolutely does that. Michael Phelps absolutely did that. Lance Armstrong absolutely did that. 713-780-3776.
Didn't the text message say if you knew them?
I mean, it's their definition of it.
But when you guys were agreeing with it, I'm just saying that's why I would throw LeBron in there and then start because we're trying to think of all these other sports. I'm trying to think if there are other people.
Well, there's a lot on the text line we'll get to. 713-780-3776. Who eclipsed their sport? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. The folks at Pro Dunk, well, they eclipsed all other hoop companies. We know that. Pro Dunk makes the highest quality basketball goals you'll ever find. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware, and it's height adjustable, unlike anything you'll find in the big box stores. Mention that height adjustable aspect of it, 5 feet to 10 feet. You also, with their new goal Thor, you can raise and lower goals with a drill, a lightning adjust feature. Raise it anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Fun, easy to do. It's idiot proof for guys like me too. Their accessories, next level. LED light kits for night play. You could have played during the eclipse today with these LED light kits, or at night, you know, kids are at school, you're at work, you can only play late. Well, the LED light kits will allow you to play whenever. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, lots more, and you can order everything, including professional installation online. That's right. Pros can professionally install your goal as well at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do all of the work for you. Give them a call now, 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
Listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Space Cadet Bar in the Heights.
He's Blank, I'm Brandon. We are at Space Cadet. Get out here, watch the Stros. If you're by the third inning, they win. They'll buy you a beer. They can't beat that. College basketball national championship game tonight as well. Wings are fantastic. Bunch of beers on draft. You'll love this spot. Space Cadet in the Heights. He's Blank, I'm Brandon. Who eclipsed their sport? Honor the eclipse today. Texter says conversation has to start with Babe Ruth. Blankers, do you care to talk about what it was like to watch him?
Oh, come on.
dude, it's just never ending, and you still get the same chuckle out of
it's
it.
Funny.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, I used to ask Palillo those questions because Palillo is a Yankee
See?
Fan.
You then you should be able to take it.
Pay it. Pay it forward.
Yeah, it's,
I didn't
it's
do
karma.
It as frequently, but yeah, you know, I.
If you're gonna do it to Palillo, you got to be able to take it back.
I take more than enough from you. I
do think Babe Ruth fits it though.
Oh, Babe Ruth absolutely fits in this conversation because like he was bigger than baseball. He was hitting more home runs than entire teams.
He was bigger than the president, as he told us.
Yeah,
once.
Yeah. Babe and Ruth, what do you think about making more money than the president? Well, I had a better year than the president.
It's also at a time when we didn't have social media, we didn't have television. I mean,
and
all
it didn't matter.
Things.
He was still huge.
The word traveled.
Yeah. he was bigger than life. He might have just transcended sport, not even baseball, but sport in general. How about Nolan Ryan? This texter says Nolan Ryan. I think we probably have a Texas bias there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that came to my mind when we start thinking about like the impact of the Olympics too, where non like big three, big four sports, Usain Bolt.
Yeah, no doubt.
Everybody had to see whenever Usain Bolt ran.
Definitely, that definitely qualifies.
And probably,
for sure.
Probably before Usain Bolt, was it Michael Johnson with,
yes,
the gold
it was,
cleats?
With the gold shoes.
I used to love
from
watching him run.
Yeah. For a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, yep. Carl Lewis.
Carl Lewis,
Cougs.
Too.
Yep.
But Usain Bolt, probably the latest track athlete. Has there been a track athlete since Usain? Probably not. I can't think of one.
No.
I can't think of one. No. Phelps, for sure, for swimming. Lionel Messi says 5199. Uh-huh. People literally consider him a god.
Ronaldo?
I think Ronaldo is up in the conversation,
too. Yeah.
Like, Messi's probably bigger, right? Like, I don't watch the World's game as much as most, but I think Messi's slightly bigger than Ronaldo.
Going a little bit back, and obviously didn't watch him play from when it happened, but I would say probably Pele falls
Pele
into
was
that.
Big.
Someone texted in Pele. Tebow in college says 6357.
Nah, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go there.
He was borderline. I think it's close because he was a phenomenon.
I think that one's on the border, kind of like LeBron is. Like, I think that's right there on the cusp where you can make a good case that he was, and then maybe the other half say, not quite bigger than the sport, but it's in the conversation.
Look, and this goes back to the difference of star power versus where I sit on it versus stats. But I'd put Johnny Manziel over Tim Tebow. Ooh. As far as just a bigger star name.
I don't
bigger
think so.
Star name.
I don't think
that's that's not all positive reasons.
I think that's
obviously.
Because of where you live.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so
okay.
too.
Right.
I think
now,
that one has some local bias.
What about the negatives?
He's hanging out as a college player. He's hanging out with LeBron in Ohio. I mean, that's to me is the star power as it gets.
Yeah, but Tebow was praying for that guy. Like, Tebow is probably healing him in a certain way.
What about the negatives? What about, like, the figure skating?
It,
like, the Tanya Harding?
Part of it.
The Harding whole thing where
I would say Harding and Kerrigan both eclipsed
the sport.
Yeah, both
of them.
That's a good call.
I think Tyson's part of the negative, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Someone said The Rock in wrestling. I don't have a problem with that.
That's fair.
He became a little bit larger than life.
If you want to go
with the Hulkster,
Hulk, yeah, I'm
for sure.
Say Hulk Hogan would fit into that as well.
Floyd Mayweather eclipsed the sport of boxing. I knew Brian was not going to feel good about that one.
I think
Ali is the greatest. And literally, as he said, the greatest of all time of the example of everything he got involved in, from with the draft to MLK to he was not afraid of getting into every situation. And people knowing him because of it, and it wasn't just because he was the greatest boxer.
Someone texted Aaron Hernandez. Come on. Dennis Rodman?
Oh, yeah. Well.
That one's borderline.
What about Brady?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think he eclipsed the sport. No. Like, he was, I mean, big star. You can make the case that Brady wasn't even the biggest star.
Time,
sure, but that doesn't mean you eclipsed the sport.
No. I'm just thinking, like, from each sport, both mainstream and not, was there? Is he the biggest football possibility?
Yeah,
the biggest star in football.
I think football is harder just because there's so many players on the roster. I think it's harder to stand out, you know, leaps and bounds amongst, you know, everyone else.
9789 George Foreman. Those grills are pretty legit. Conor McGregor, I think, is a good one.
Oh, that's yeah. Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey. That one got texted in a few times, too.
Yeah, we should have named Ronda Rousey.
I mean, it's easy to look at the combat sports to see who transcended the sport, or I guess in this case.
Because it's individual?
Well, you can also see the pay-per-view buys.
Yeah,
and you can see the gate. Like, there's actually a measurement there because you can see the pay-per-view buys. You can see how many people are coming to watch those people fight. You can see the career earnings. In a way, those sports actually measure that for us.
Is Fernando Valenzuela on that list?
I
don't know.
There.
Yeah,
boy,
don't
when
know.
he came on the scene and internationally, he had a ton of eyeballs on him.
The Honey Glaze Brandon says, Pete, is it Weber or Weber, the bowler?
Pete Weber.
He says Pete Weber. That's a great
Who
call.
Who do you think you are? I am. Yeah.
That's a great call.
Yeah, because he brought the bravado from all old school guys.
Yeah, he trash talked. Yeah.
Here is one for the negative side of it. O.J. Simpson says he's in the Heights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
is Ohtani going to end up being there?
Someone texted Ohtani.
I think so.
I think Ohtani's there.
I think Ohtani's there now.
I think he's eclipsed.
That's a good call.
Globally, for sure.
Yeah,
globally for sure. He's
but if he ends up back to pitching again and has dominated both,
I don't think that's necessary.
Time,
I think he's already there. I mean, look at the contract he signed.
But I'm saying that like it could be sustainable for even no matter what he's done already, he could blow up.
The gambling thing even makes it more.
Yeah, it does. Pete Rose? I wouldn't consider Pete Rose. I know he's the hit king, but I don't think he eclipsed the popularity of the sport.
I was too young to really live through like the media coverage of the scandal, so it's hard for me to say. But
yeah.
I would lean no.
I would lean no too. Tony Hawk for skateboarding, no doubt.
Oh yeah, yeah. Tony Hawk.
Like if you have one person in the sport that's the only person you know,
right?
You're automatically there. Like Serena Williams is one here.
Yes,
Serena Williams, you could call.
Yep.
Like you know a lot more women's tennis players. Like you know Venus and Seles and Steffi Graf, but Serena at the top of the mountain for sure.
Federer or Nadal.
See, there's been a lot of like tennis players that you could qualify here. Nadal,
but they're
kind of
replaceable, right?
Joker,
interchangeable.
Agassi, Sampras. Like, if you want to go back, McEnroe.
Like they're
been a
the
lot.
Next greatest, but
there's
people,
always one.
Yeah,
in the
there's
wings.
Another one in the wings.
So.
That said, though, you're tuning in to watch that player. You're not tuning like
that was the measure. Like, because I was not someone that grew up watching tennis.
Same.
But when Federer and Nadal were at their height, I would watch the majors when they were involved. Yeah.
Wasn't Billie Jean King because she played the Battle of the Sexes too?
Against the Dome
and made it bigger and put women's tennis.
I forget the guy's
name, Bobby Riggs.
Bobby Riggs. Yeah, yeah.
See,
that's a good
see,
good
I think tennis is one of those sports where you're actually watching to watch the tennis player, not the sport. Because I'm not watching second round Wimbledon with people I don't know.
Johnny Mack.
But I would watch Agassi whenever I was young. I would watch Sampras when I was young. When I would watch the Joker, I would watch Federer. I would watch Nadal. But I'm not watching like quarterfinals of two guys I've never heard of.
100%.
So I think tennis players are easy to
McEnroe.
Their
you
sport.
Wanted to see him go off. You wanted to see the temper tantrum more than you wanted to see great tennis.
And Tyson was kind of in that same way too, because he's going to snap and bite your ear.
Yeah.
So you had to watch the show. Of what Mike Tyson was. The show is bigger than the sport. Sean White, we mentioned that one. John Madden?
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't go John Madden. I don't think he
is. Sugar Ray Leonard?
Maybe.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really remember.
I would lean no.
It's just tough, too, because you have so many big names that when boxing was a big
thing. That was in its heyday.
Yeah.
Ric Flair?
No, because he wasn't in the biggest – like the prime of his career, he wasn't in the biggest promotion.
Yeah, Dale Earnhardt.
I'm a big Ric Flair
I thought
fan,
about.
But.
I was just gonna say anybody in NASCAR.
Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon,
maybe.
But I wouldn't go Gordon.
Because Jeff Gordon was well known, but it seemed like everyone hated him inside the sport. Like the fans of the sport didn't
did
like.
They really?
Him.
So did Tony.
Because he was
Tony,
like the California guy in the
Stewart,
Southern sport.
Tony Stewart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeter's an interesting one. Most famous of the modern Yankees, and people came to watch him for sure. I think it's a decent call with Jeter, the captain, the retirement. Like he was probably a little overrated, especially defensively.
What about Reggie back in the day?
Reggie
Jackson.
Maybe.
Because Reggie was, you know, must-see TV with the three home runs in the World Series and then all the arguing with Billy Martin and how it got, you know, them into commercials and other things, too.
Wasn't he the first big free agent, too?
Well, Curt Flood is supposed to be the first big one, but Reggie was massive. Him and Winfield, too. Winfield got that massive deal from the Padres.
Yeah, I remember he was drafted and went straight to the bigs. 0841, Sosa or McGuire. In 98 specifically,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes.
Absolutely, yep. Sosa
well,
McGuire.
Your boy, Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, was it a little bit too late?
I don't know. Because of the fact that there was all the controversy plus all the just the ability and the way it was, he was chasing these records and there was all these questions. I think the whole steroid side of it just intensified everybody's interest in it. You might not have been a baseball fan. Every night, remember they were breaking in and showing Barry Bonds at bats on national TV?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. I mean, he was kind of hated at the end, but maybe that leads to it. Like, we're not talking about likability.
Danica?
Maybe so.
Yeah, for women's racing.
Yeah, Danica, because it's not women's racing
now. Yeah, that's
now.
The thing.
It's men's racing, and she brought more attention.
True.
Well, was there ever women's racing?
I don't think.
Like, she was racing with the men.
Was
so,
she?
Yeah.
Okay, I could be mistaken.
So I don't,
still, she, I think she, I think, I would say she transcended it a little bit.
I don't
bit.
Know. Like, that one's tough, because she was racing with the men, and it was already a popular sport amongst some, especially in the Southeast where they live in trailers.
That's like Annika Sorenstam. Do you throw Annika Sorenstam in?
Because yeah, I would.
Not only did she... She was the icon of women's golf that people – you say women's golf, you'd say Annika Sorenstam. Then she tried to play some men's events too.
I would say Sorenstam for sure.
Yeah.
But she was – I mean, Sorenstam was not bigger than golf.
No.
She was bigger than women's golf.
Right. That's
which is
saying.
The difference women's here golf. With Danica yeah. Patrick. Danica Patrick, there wasn't, in my, I don't think there was women's auto racing. 1408, Michael Vick.
No. Nah.
I don't know, man. Michael Vick was pretty big.
Yeah, he was.
He was pretty big. And then if you want to go to the negative
the negative
route,
with the dog thing just put it on a different level.
That's true. If you're taking the casual fan test, like talking to your mom, she knew who Michael Vick was.
Yeah.
Joey Chestnut. That's true.
Yeah.
Joey Chestnut.
No
would
one knew hot dog
here.
Eating until him.
Now, you could argue that it's not a sport.
Kobayashi.
Yeah. He was like the first big star.
Ken Griffey Jr., did he eclipse baseball?
Mm-mm. Nah.
No.
I don't know. He had the logo.
Yeah.
He had the video game that everybody remembers.
It was a great video game.
I think that I would put Griffey in my yes, actually.
I would say no, but I hear your point, but I would say no.
But it's also because baseball did such a poor job marketing their own players that
Couldn't have been a bigger one marketed than Griffey, though.
But that was the companies he was associating with and marketing more than baseball itself.
Okay, but that matters.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, to your point, I'm arguing for you in this, that there might have been players in the past that did a lot of things like Ken Griffey Jr., but when you think about the fact that because of the video game, it took it to a different level with a different audience,
yeah.
Nike with the logos, everything he got involved in kind of elevated his marketability.
Maybe that's why that guy said Madden. Like, he's going video game route.
Yeah, that's a
Jackie Robinson, no doubt about it.
Yep. Sure.
Lewis Hamilton. I mean, there was a Schumacher before.
Yeah.
Before a Hamilton, and now you have a Verstappen. Like, his popularity was pretty high, though.
I think if you're going to that, you got to go old school and say, like, what, Mario Andretti? Guys.
Well,
that,
Andretti wasn't. Was Andretti F1? I thought he was IndyCar.
He was IndyCar, yeah.
Yeah, F1, I think the biggest one was Schumacher.
Schumacher, but Verstappen and
now,
and
Lewis Hamilton was Hamilton, Verstappen. Yeah. Verstappen. Verstappen's taking it to another level.
Right.
Yeah, that's a pretty good list there, I think. Did we miss anybody big? Richard Petty, someone said. Maybe.
Jack and Arnie? Because before Tiger, before
I would say so.
Jack and he's the all time. But
oh,
I think,
he's got a drink named after him.
But Arnold Pond's a good
but
point.
The battle Arnold, between the two Jack, of them, yeah. People would watch Jack play Arnie in a tournament when they didn't like really weren't interested in golf.
Yeah. Phil Mickelson. Kidding. I'm kidding. It's a live joke. All right. 713-780 ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Space Cadet in the Heights. Get out here. Watch your shows. Watch your college basketball. All right. What's the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
He's Blank on Branham, broadcasting live from Space Cadet in the Heights. Come watch the Astros here. You're here by the third. They'll buy you a beer if the Astros win. Might be a little bit more difficult today with no Framber Valdez on the mound. He's back in Houston. He'll get some imaging done on that elbow. Hopefully we get good news soon. Hopefully. Knock on wood. Espada tried to downplay it by, well, he didn't land on the IL. Okay. Could land on the IL tomorrow,
see
though.
See me tomorrow. See me tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, the doctors hadn't even looked at him yet.
That quote's our car wreck of the day nominee.
I'll nominate that quote.
No, he didn't land on the IL, so he's not that hurt. Okay. All right. Guys, this happens all the time. Get the imaging back, and then you make your move. What's your car wreck of the day nominee?
Well, I'm going to start right away with a guy that Brian knows that might have screwed up his draft possibilities.
Oh, yeah.
Devondre Sweat arrested for DWI. We were talking about, hey, let's hope he falls to the Texans. There's
a chance.
Well,
maybe now he will.
Yeah, maybe he will, and maybe they won't take him, because no matter how much they maybe have been a little bit more open to the idea, other than when Robert McNair owned the team, about guys with any kind of history, I don't know that. I think there's going to be some teams that are going to be scared off now
teams
that Devondre Sweat was arrested for DUI.
Teams seem to be interested. He was taking a visit with Tennessee and I believe one other team today, so it seems like teams are still interested.
Jalen Carter literally left his friends to die in a tree and was still a top 10
pick.
But
I'm saying,
so
there's certain teams, like the Texans,
only takes one.
That, might stay away. I'm not saying he's not going to get drafted. Yeah. Maybe
I don't think it hurts his stock much. Like a DUI, I don't think it really hurts his stock much. But do you know, we've been talking about what position he plays, like zero tech, one tech. It's actually a .08 tech is the defensive tackle position that Sweat plays.
That's not bad.
Oh, grade the joke. Go ahead.
That was pretty good.
7.1.
Yeah, I give it a 0.08. Morgan.
Oh, God. Okay, that gives a 0.09.
And Brian gives it a 7.
That gives a 0.09.
Is it Morgan Whalen or Morgan Wallen? I think it's Whalen.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Whalen. Morgan Whalen arrested in Nashville for allegedly throwing a chair off the roof of a bar. He's nominated for carving. But be honest, we all wish we could have done this at some point in our life.
Wasn't it a six-story? Six stories up, he threw the chair?
That's part of the story. He threw it off the top of the balcony or whatever, but also apparently hit a cop.
Oh, did he really?
Or hit somebody?
A cop or a cop car or something like, yeah, something involving with the cop. So not that there's ever a good result from throwing the chair off the balcony, but then you hit a cop or a cop car and, yeah.
So he's got good accuracy. That's good to know about my country western singer. That's everything I love about a good cop story, though.
I bet he has
a song about it someday?
I bet he had sand in his boots. Morgan Whalen.
Is that one of his songs?
Both of them are.
Right,
I'm on a roll. What are you nominating, Brian?
Hunter Brown. We need to have better starts. There's a lot of things we can nominate with the Astros, but Hunter Brown's really got to get it together. Otherwise, he's going to end up in middle relief or back down. And as Joe suggested, did they back down in AAA?
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible with the state of their bullpen, but he's not. His last start wasn't very good. His first start was fine.
Does that mean Ryan Pressly gets on that list too?
Four and a third. You can put him on there if you
want. Him.
I mean, the four run, you know, turned a one run game into an unwinnable game late on Saturday night.
Bounced back yesterday.
Yeah.
Three up, three down inning. I was going to nominate UCLs today, and then the Fromber news broke. So I guess I got to nominate it even more.
Put
it in bold. Elbows, UCLs, Tommy John.
Can we nominate the disappointment, maybe at least for the Houston audience, of the solar eclipse? Not much really to look at here.
Yes.
We had a texter say that. Eclipse being blocked by overcast skies.
Yeah.
Josh from Seabrook.
I had to break it to Taylor. We're on the way to school. She goes, Dad, it's going to be so awesome. I can't wait for the eclipse. They're going to let us outside for it, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I go, you might not see it.
Yeah.
She's like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you might. Hopefully, the classrooms have TVs because you probably got a better chance of seeing it there.
Should we be Kentucky or Coach Cal? Which of the two are we nominating here? It's got to be one or the other. Can't be both.
I think. See, if I was thinking about it from Cal's perspective, I think he did Kentucky a favor. The only reason they said it in a lot of ways that they weren't going to fire him at Kentucky because they owed him $33 million. Now that he left on his own, they don't owe him anything. They get a new coach, and he takes less money to go to Arkansas.
Yeah, I saw that the incentives can get it close to about what he's going to make at Kentucky, and I think you're right. It's one of those things where they're about to fire him, so you might as well get out before you get fired, which is something that it's good. Car wreck of the day, Adolis Garcia. I'm not going to say what he said before Adolis Garcia. All right, what's winning?
I think Brian's onto something. I think the fact that everybody had so much hype around an eclipse they didn't see.
Right. Is either that or Fromber?
Now, some people say that little break in the clouds did let them see at least
I did
a majority
see it briefly
of it.
For about 30 seconds.
Congratulations, solar eclipse. Not for doing something for 4.5 minutes we get every night, but for not letting us see you. You're our car wreck of the day.
Eclipse of the heart.
Presented by CarWreck.com. All right, that does it for us. Thanks for the folks here at Space Cadet for their hospitality, their great food. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Thanks to A-Rod and Brian McDonald, our on-site engineer. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Soccer Matters coming up next.